This is Dr. David Whitlock with your Monday Morning Wake-Up Call, the podcast designed to help people wake up to the possibilities that surround them every day and maximize their potential for life. One of my favorite preachers of all time is a man named Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who lived in the 19th century. I like him so much, I almost named my first son after him. In a sermon entitled First Things First that he preached back in 1885, Spurgeon said this: "To have a great many aims and objectives is much the same as having no aim at all. If a man shoots at many things, he will hit none or none worth hitting. It is a grand thing," Spurgeon said, "to know what we are living for and to live for a worthy objective with the undivided energy of our being." Although that sermon was preached over 120 years ago, it has a contemporary ring to it, don't you think? In fact, I just read a book published in 2012 that echoes Spurgeon's statement. The book is entitled The One Thing, The Surprisingly Simple Truth Behind Extraordinary Results by Gary Keller with Jay Papasan. I'm not a fan of self-help books, but this book reminded me to keep an intense focus on the main thing, the primary purpose of my life. It's so important to do that. There's a quote, a Russian proverb, on the inside fly of the book. It says, "If you are chasing two rabbits, you won't catch either one." The one thing in the book is a reference to an idea. Everyone should pick one thing, the authors tell us, and focus completely on that one thing. Michael Phelps selected swimming and practiced 6 hours every day, and he became the most successful swimmer and most decorated Olympian of all time. Pat Matthews, one of America's great impressionist painters, says he turned his passion for painting into a skill and ultimately a profession by simply painting one painting a day. So pick one talent, one skill, and start building your success on top of that one thing. Now, I ended last week's podcast by encouraging you to set aside some time and ask yourself, when I get where I'm going, will I be there? That is, where are you going with your life? Too many people travel along this journey called life with no real idea of what their destination is. As believers in Christ, we know our ultimate destination, but what kind of difference will we make along the way? That's the question. And that reminds me of another excellent book, Wake Up, Escaping a Life on Autopilot by Chris Bears Brown. He maintains that over 80% of our waking time is spent on autopilot. We all know the feeling of driving a long distance and arriving at our destination with little memory of the journey, he says. And that's because we are doing routine activities, and our subconscious takes over to save energy when we do that. We're on autopilot. This doesn't just happen when we drive. It happens every day when we're at work or with our loved ones or simply living our lives. Did you catch that? How many people do you know who live their lives on autopilot, just traveling along through life on autopilot, missing precious moments and their significance and not knowing where they're going? Well, the book Wake Up is a series of experiments designed to help you break free from that trap. And that brings me back to the question about where you're going. Will you know where you are when you get there? And in that book, The One Thing, the authors articulate a question that can help us determine that one thing for our life. And here's the question: what is the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? You might want to write that down. The authors suggest that as you focus on that one question, answering it in different areas of your life, it will cause a domino effect which can make you more effective. Now think about this. As a Christian, the one thing is in one sense already answered for us. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And in another place, Mark 12, when a scribe asked Jesus which of the commandments was the most important, Jesus told him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and all your mind and all your strength." And the second Jesus said is like it, or likened to it, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So the one thing for the follower of Christ is to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and that involves loving the Lord with all we are, heart, mind, talents, and secondly, loving our neighbor, our relationships with others, as we love ourselves. But now within that process, that seeking of the kingdom, what is your specific role? What is the one thing for you as you seek that overarching one thing, seeking the kingdom, God's rule or reign, and bringing it to bear in your life and the lives of others, your relationships? Be careful about overstressing with your career path. I agree with Rick Warren that it's not so much what you do that matters, but who you're doing it for. So whether you're a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, when you're seeking the kingdom, all that we do for God becomes the one thing. You can be an attorney, a nurse, a carpenter, a teacher, a mother, a father, raising children, but doing it for God turns it into a spiritual act of seeking the kingdom. William Carey, considered the founder of the modern mission movement, was a shoe cobbler before he was able to go into missions full time. Someone once asked him if he was spending too much time on mission work to the neglect of his shoe business, and Carey replied, "My business, sir, is to extend the kingdom of Christ. I only make shoes to help pay expenses." What about you? What is it for you? What's the one thing, the most significant thing you can do to make a mark for God's kingdom? Think about it. Next week, I'll talk about applying the concept of one thing into specific areas of your life. And in the meantime, go out and be the person God created you to be. Dragged a comb across my head.